Has been the theme. So I broke it down into three different sections, which are going to be the three different classes. A perfect teacher. Jesus is the perfect teacher. He's the perfect example. That's what we're going to cover first. And then we're going to cover the perfect sacrifice. And then we're going to cover the perfect answer. This is how we're going to look through things here. So what's the point of a teacher? What?
To teach you how to do something.
To teach you how to do something. Exactly. We all would stand here, sit here, not knowing anything if somebody didn't teach us anything, right? Right? So we have to have the answers to be able to do things. So the direction I look at things is, why do you suppose that the world as a whole is heading in the direction that it is? I mean, we all can turn on the TVs. We can all hear things. Your phones, all stuff comes across. Why do you think, and I'm even going to say the United States as a whole, is headed in a direction that looks to be headed in kind of a downward spiral? Because we know it all. Nobody wants to be taught anything anymore. Right? You go through school because you have to. You go to college just to not have to go to real life the majority of the time. I'm sorry. Right? So, we'd rather a lot of times sit on our hands because it's difficult. We don't want to take that step. We're in our comfort zone. It's difficult to open our minds to try to absorb something that's new. And I'm guilty of that all the time. It's easier for me just to stay on track and do what I know to do. So, a few of these classes that we're going to cover are probably going to take the blender and stir your guts up a little bit. That's what we want to do. We want you to start thinking about things. We want things to start absorbing. We want things to, when you're laying in bed at night and you're all by yourself and there's nobody in the room and your head's on the pillow, it's your thoughts. Nobody else doing anything. So we want to start feeding you the information to be able to just start chewing on some things. So, and then obviously we'll look at the one who perfected all of these all the way throughout the next few classes here. So, let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here in this camp. In a lot of countries, this is something that's unheard of, so we can't say enough thanks and praise and glory to you to be able to allow us to come closer to you. I pray that you can just give us the attention span that we need after a long night last night and long camp. We're on the downhill slide, and just help us to focus. This is only a half hour of your time. Just focus, put our baggage at the door, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, and let's absorb some things. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So, I'm going to talk a lot about the world, and when I'm talking with the world, it's going to be Satan as a whole, because the way things work is way back when Satan was arrogant enough to say, God, I'm going to be like you. God says, I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to shoot you down. You want to go try to do it? Go ahead. I'll even give you a place to practice it on and try it. That's the world. That's the devil's world. That's why we have bad things happen. That's why there's crazy, crazy people, possessed people. That's why there's dangerous things in this world. Is it's all Satan's things. Heaven is not a place where anything like that is ever. God is perfect. God is pure. Jeff was talking about the stripes on the stars. The white is purity. That is heaven. That is God. So this world is not a very good picture of this. The best picture of God in heaven in this world is when you look out the windows and you see a beautiful scenery like this, because God created it all. But as far as the happenings of this world and a lot of the things in it, it's the devil's doing, Satan's doings. So, why doesn't Satan want us to learn anything? Exactly. The number one thing, Satan wants to be your roadblock. He doesn't want you to learn anything, because if you don't know the need to have a Savior, you ain't gonna know it. If you don't know of something, how are you gonna try to find that answer to it? Right? So he wants to, he's our roadblock between God. There's basically Satan's in between. Your sin. You know, we had a great discussion last night at our devotions. We got into the whole salvation thing. Is it easier than what you thought, guys? Is salvation easy? Come on, you know the answer. Is salvation easy? For you? For Jesus? Or you? Jesus, it was? For you, it's easy. Okay. We did. We did. We had a good one. Promise. So, the thing is with salvation that Satan wants to do is Satan wants to twist things and he wants to muddy the water. There again, look at the flag. White is pure. The salvation message is pure, simple. Right? Through faith alone and Christ alone. Jesus died on the cross to wash your sins away. Dave, that song was singing about hanging him on a cross. That was for you. That was for the sins that we commit every day. The blood that came out of Jesus' body. We used the example last night of if there's a mess on the floor, Jesus is that 5-gallon bucket of water that takes it on the floor and washes it away. That's the blood. Washes all your sins away, they're gone. That's it. That's the simplicity of the salvation. You believe Christ did that for you, you're done. You're sealed. You just beat Satan. But does that mean that as soon as we're saved, how come God doesn't take us and go whoop, right up to heaven? He wants you to do more with your life. Right? He left us here for a reason. Right? So we'll get into that. We'll cover that in the next few classes. So let's say, all right, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I know 100% for sure that I'm going to heaven. Which, if that's not a choice that you guys have made, you need to be thinking about that. Because you're the only one. You can't get to heaven because your parents go to church, because you go to church, because you do good things. Well, they prayed for me and they told me I was going to heaven because everybody else is. That's not how you get to heaven. It is a choice that God leaves up to you. You're the only one that can decide if you're going to go. God cannot force you. Satan cannot force you. There's nobody that can force you to go to heaven or hell. Hell was not created. The lake of fire was not created for us. Think about that. God created the lake of fire for Satan. It wasn't created for us. So I inhabit it. Okay? So think about that, right? So, we've accepted the fact that Christ is our Savior. Why does Satan want to distract us? What else? What does he want to distract us for? What's the reason? What is he? Huh? He doesn't want us to grow. Right? We got left here on this earth after we chose salvation. We're left here on this earth. Does God just want us to sit in this chair on our hands and not do anything? He wants you to live life. Our commission, just like I talked about last night, we are made to do other things.
But I think there's a heaven as a reward.
It's a reward. For believing Jesus died on the cross for your sins is heaven. Yes. But he doesn't want us to grow. So, flip open your Bibles. Everybody got their Bibles this morning? To page 1272, which is Ephesians 6:12. 1272. I got an extra Bible here. Who's there? Somebody missing one? No name. Everybody find it? Ephesians 6:12. 6:12. So big number 6, little number 12. Good? Okay. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Keaton showed a video, military action. We all use those examples because that's a very good analogy. We all have seen pictures, we've seen videos, what war is. It's just an easy way to word things with the Bible, and this is why, because it's spiritual warfare. You're in. Flip down to verse 16, you're already in 12. Verse 16, you find it? In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What does that mean? Extinguish the flaming arrows. What are flaming arrows of the evil one? Confusion. Okay. Picture this. Picture Satan with a bow and arrow. I think you're going to do bow and arrow stuff, right? Okay. So picture this. A weakness. Let's just say we've got, I just always use the sex, the drugs, but let's say you've got distractions. Give me some stuff to struggle with.
Something
that's
supposed to cheat.
Yeah, cheating in the game. Right. Cheating on school and test, right?
Lying.
Lying, cheating, stealing.
Disobedience
to your parents. Not following directions. Guess what? Not following directions. Boom. There goes Satan. He just shot you with an arrow. So what are you going to do? You're going to go disobey your parents. Boom. You just got shot with an arrow. Y'all want to cheat on that test. That's what the arrows are. Satan's standing here lodging these arrows at you. You're going to go do arrows. You're going to think of that. When you shoot that arrow out of that bow and you watch it, figure there goes cheating. That's what he's doing. That's what his arrows are. Okay? So the Bible says that Satan is roaming this earth looking for someone to devour. He's looking for opportunities to see you in your weakness. Because he's a coward. He's not going to stand up and face you man to man. He's going to take you at your lowest point, and he's going to make you trip and he's going to make you stumble because you're not paying attention. So, what does the Bible... Hope you feel better. What does the Bible teach us about these battles? Go to page 603. 603. Which is Psalm 91. Psalm 91, page 603. Psalm 91, 91 verse 1, says the protection of the Most High. You find that? You got it? Okay. Is everybody there? 603. Okay. So, we've got all these arrows getting shot at us all the time, right? We're going to just read through this fast. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, may God, my God in whom I trust. He himself will deliver you from the hunter's net, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in the darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will not You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. Why? Because you have made the Lord, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. You've accepted Christ into your life. This is what you get. By accepting Christ into your life, this is the protection that you have. You think of the President of the United States, you look at all the FBI, all the Secret Service, all that stuff. They're there to do what? To protect them. Keep them safe. Guess what? You have that. You have it. No harm, verse 10, no harm will come to you, no plague will come near your tent, for he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. Because he is lovingly devoted to me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. Do you know his name? Do you know his name? Personally? Right? Or do you just know it as Jesus is the guy who died on the cross? You know that there's a lot of people that believe Jesus died on the cross? It's written down in history books. There's people that believe that. And guess what? They're not going to heaven. Because they know that Jesus was a man. Think of the time back then. I know Gage is a man. I can see him right here. He's real. Jesus walked this earth, so there was people that were able to touch him, to see him crucified. And yet, they're not going to be in heaven in eternity. Why? Because they didn't know his name. They didn't take a personal relationship with him and accept the fact that that's my Savior. I know him as my Savior. That's who I know him as. I know him as my Savior. I know him as my protector. They didn't connect the dots. Verse 15, when he calls out to me, I will answer him. If you're listening. Right? I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. And I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. So, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God's army with me living my life. Who created Satan? God did, right? If somebody created something, if I build something, if I wrap this box, if I wrap this up, can I destroy it? I can destroy it. I made it. I can destroy it, right? God created Satan. Satan can be destroyed by God. And he will be done, away, gone, forever. Whose team you want to be on?
God's.
Right? So, Doug talked a lot about the father figure. That was tied in perfect to what we're going to look at now. Flip to page 1055, which is Mark 6:34. Mark 6:34. Is everybody there? Page 1055. This must not be my Bible. There's my Bible. I wondered why it wasn't marked in there. Okay, ready? So as he stepped ashore, he's talking about Jesus, he saw a huge crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Why does God care about you? He made you. Do you care about something if you make something in school or art or shop class or whatever? You think it's pretty cool stuff, right? You want to take it home, show your mom and dad, show it off, because you built that, right? Compassion. When Jesus was standing there and looking out, he just didn't see people. He saw lost souls that needed an answer, that needed someone to save them. He looked out and saw inhabitants of heaven. That's what he saw. He had compassion on them because he just didn't look at them and say, "That's just an ugly old hag. I don't want nothing to do with her. That's just a stinky old guy because he's been at camp all week and smells and can't get a clean shower. I don't want to talk to them." Right? That's not what he saw. He had compassion on him. If you have compassion on somebody, you pass all that. You go to who they are. Jesus is an example. He teaches us. He gives us an example. My example out of that verse right there is follow that example of Jesus. When you're at school or you're at home, your brothers and sisters are being little brats, you're at school and there's somebody that everybody else picks on because they're fat, they're ugly, they've got zits, whatever else. The popular kids spin it that way. The popular kid that everybody goes to, but then they go home at night and they're the ones that life has wrecked, that's on the verge of suicide because they have a standard that they think they have to live to. Open your eyes. That's what you're here for. Open your eyes. Have that compassion to go up and talk to somebody. To go up and talk to them and say, "Hey, do you need help with something? You struggling with something? You're just off today. I've never met you. Nice to meet you." Start up a conversation. Telling people about Jesus doesn't mean that you got to take a Bible and slap them upside the forehead with it and say, "No Jesus." What? That ain't what you're going to do. How many people are going to want to be a follower of Jesus? You might get a few bullies because they want to go hit people in the head with stuff. But that's not what it is. It's that little steps. It's being the light. That's what we keep saying, being the light in a dark world. The darkness, the verse that we went to, that Satan, the dark world, Satan's world, it's dark. Suicide's real. That's something that's very real, and it's getting to be younger and younger and younger and younger people doing it. That's darkness. What if you were the one that was able to shine enough that that person that was sitting there ready to take those pills tonight, what if you were the one that they know, "Mike has got something, I just don't know about him. He just walks different, he acts different, he's got a good air about him. I can tell that." You're that light. You're that beacon that's flashing. They may come to you. The first thing you're going to do to them is probably not beat them upside the head with the Bible. You're going to show them compassion, just like what Jesus did. You're going to see them for more than what they think that they're worth. So, God left us here to do things, right? We can all cross that bridge. We've got the salvation stuff figured out, I hope, right? I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm going to keep beating it like a dead horse. If you can't leave this place without figuring out how to spend eternity in heaven, you weren't paying attention. And I'm sorry, because you got one choice in your life to figure out, and that's the biggest choice that you can ever figure out. Pay attention, because it's real. You don't get no do-overs. If you walk outside right now and you get smoked by a car out there screwing around in the parking lot and you're dead, are you going to get back up? No. What if you didn't make that decision about heaven? There's no do-overs. So this stuff's real. That's why we do this stuff. That's why you look around the room and you see all these camps, all these adults, you see people from Washington, from Montana, coming here to talk with you, to be with you, because we want to spend eternity with you. We want to party in heaven with you guys. The more people, you ever been to a party with two people, or you've been to a party with 50 people? 50. It's more fun with more people, right? No. So, you look at, we'll back up to Satan wanting to distract us, right? To tempt us with different things. Do you ever think that Christ was tempted like that? Or do you think Jesus' life was just a cakewalk? I'm Jesus, I'm God, I got everything, I got all this power, so my life's just going to be a cakewalk. Is that how Jesus lived?
No.
No. Matthew 4, page 1005. Just flip back a little bit. You're on 1055, go to 1005. Four, verse one. I'm just going to paraphrase this fast because we're running out of time. Okay, so Jesus was tempted. This is why your Bible's cool, guys. Your Bible is not a book that is just full of rules that's going to make your life suck. There's stories, there's examples, there's teachings. It's your owner's manual to make it through your life. If you can't, majority of you can't drive yet, but what do? Fly drones, play with phones, whatever. If you don't have instructions how to do stuff and put stuff together, is there any value in that? You can't make it work. You can't do what it's meant to do. So that's what your Bible is for your life. So Jesus was tempted. What I want to notice, I'm just going to read the first. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days, okay, 40 days, 40 nights, not eating. We eat like 8 times a day here, and we still get hungry. This is 40 days, right? You complain when you skip a meal. This is 40 days, right?
That's 120 a day.
So 40 nights. And he was hungry. You'd be hungry, right? So then the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones become bread. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that every word that protrudes out of the mouth of God." What if you're awake? Think of this: 40 days, 40 nights. Who's tired in here? Who slept like 2 hours last night? Right? Not even. Are you tired right now? Be honest with yourself. Are you tired? Okay. You just ate breakfast and you all got leftovers sitting in front of you, so you shouldn't be hungry. But when you're hungry, you ever heard of hangry?
Yeah.
Somebody's hangry? Right. You get hungry, you get mad. You get angry. Okay. So let's throw this. You haven't slept for 40 days and you're starving. Are you going to want to walk up to me and start a conversation with me right now? If I haven't slept for 40 days and I'm hungry? It ain't?
No.
No.
I'm going to feed you like a good giant king.
Right. Because I'm not going to be very happy. Jesus was what at that point? He was vulnerable. Right? No sleep, no food. He's wore down. He's tired. What do you want to do right then? You either want to have a snack and go to sleep. But what does Satan do? Satan saw that opportunity and jumped in, right? To start screwing with his head. That's what Satan does to us. That's the flaming arrows. That's like today. You're on a downhill slide, guys. We've got pretty much 2 classes left. For the whole day. You're on the downhill slide. So you got 1 hour. 1 hour out of 24 hours, is that very much time?
No.
No. So what do you need to do? You need to take your shield of faith, hold it in front of you, because Satan's going to use this tiredness from the storm last night, the no sleep, the crabbiness, to distract you. So you need to hold your shield of faith, because you're a follower of Jesus. You have God's armies on your side. You have the secret service around you. You have the shield of faith to be able to extinguish that stuff. You need to keep moving. Keep going forward. So, that's right at a half hour. So, if you skip down, I'm just going to end with this, and we're going to be done. If you skip down to that verse, you flip your page over, In verse 11, after Jesus rebuked Satan and shut him down on those three temptations, what did Satan do? What's the word? Starts with an I. Somebody say it.
Left him.
With an I. Keep going.
Immediately.
Immediately. Satan cannot hold up against the name of Jesus. He can't. He cannot win. That's the word of God. Every answer, if you read this, which I want you to do, read this little story that's in there that's just 10 verses long. Jesus answers and goes back to the word of God. My Father tells me this, that I can do this, that you shouldn't tempt it, that you... He goes back to God the whole time. Satan cannot compare. Okay? So today, when you're tired, when we're fighting to stay awake, when you want to bicker and fight against each other and your teammates, when stuff's not going right because you're tired, don't let Satan get to you. Because he can't win. Okay? So I'm going to close it out. And then we've got, I think, activities next. Which we're a little bit behind, so I got to... All right, let's just close it out. Father, we just thank you for this short time that we've had to hopefully stir some things up in your minds, your souls, just to be getting us on the verge of thinking things. I pray that you just keep us safe as we go out this afternoon and just burn off the rest of the energy that we've got in the time of fellowship that you've provided. In your son's name we pray. Amen.